Everyone pray for Brother Ron tonight. He needs the Lord's help.
Thank you, Brother and Sister Odom. I really appreciate that. That was a very appropriate song, very good. And I just want to say how blessed we at Faith are for your presence. And I'm blessed with Faith being here tonight. We're just so thankful for everyone. But you know what? We're blessed because the Lord's with us as well. And I'm glad that He is. Does anybody have anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? I just want everybody to mind the Lord. Appreciate the good message last night. Anything on your heart? If not, I'll be reading from the book of Malachi tonight. I think that's where we're going to start. I think we're going to read a portion of the first verse, and then we're going to leave that and come back to it if the Lord leads us that way. But I got up this morning, and usually when I get ready to go into a revival, I know the night that before what I'm going to preach the next night, or at least I have a subject. Last night I didn't have one. After Brother Taylor got through preaching, I still didn't have one. So I went to bed praying about what I would need to preach on tonight. Still didn't have one. Got up this morning, and Rhonda said, "Well, don't you need to get out of bed and study?" Well, I do need to get out of bed and study, but I don't know what to study. You preachers ever been that way? And so you know what I did? I prayed. I said, "Lord, I need your help again." And He always answers. And when He answered me, I thought to myself, well, how am I going to take that subject and utilize it? And He touched me with a song. Today I had to go to Bowling Green. I got in that big box truck and I was going to Glasgow. And I started going to Glasgow and I started humming this song. And then I pulled it up on my YouTube and the title of the message is "God Hold to God's Unchanging Hand." You know, they were talking about that touch. The final touch that we're going to feel is the Lord telling us it's time to come home. Well, I turned that YouTube on and there was a group, I guess it was in a church, and they were playing this song and it began to bless me. And then I found another version of it and it blessed me as well. But then I got to thinking about the words and why we're here tonight. And we're here tonight because we're holding on to God's unchanging hand. Now, if it's God's unchanging hand, it means He changes not. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And Brother Taylor, he mentioned that. But that song is found on 231 in the book. Right by the song, "My Real Home." It says, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." And this is the way it goes. Time is filled with sweet transition. Not of earth and moon can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You want to sing along? Just sing. Second verse is, trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, stick more closely to Him, please. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I like this last verse. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and right the home and glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Now, if the prophet told you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and then for the next 400 years, there wasn't a prophet. While there wasn't much of a preacher, there just wasn't any talk from God. That'd be very discouraging, wouldn't it? It'd be very discouraging to know that you had 400 years from the time Malachi was written until Jesus comes on the scene. But Jesus came on the scene. Malachi wrote in the third chapter of the book of Malachi, first of all, he says, behold. In other words, take notice, listen, look about what I'm getting ready to say. He said, I will send what? He said, I will send my messenger.
Right.
Now, who was that messenger? In the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, it was John the missionary Baptist.
Amen.
Now somebody might say, that's not right. Oh yes it is. What is a missionary? A missionary is someone that's been sent. And he has been sent by God. That makes him a missionary. That makes him the missionary Baptist.
Amen.
Now somebody might say, well that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's John the Baptist. Yeah, but John the Baptist was sent by God, and it says did you know he was in jail? He was in jail. And the Bible says in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute. I told you we're going to skip over here. We're just going to follow the Lord. But I thought that was very appropriate. But this is what it says in the 11th chapter of the book. And it says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And John was in prison, and as he's in prison, he sends two of his disciples, and he says, I want you to go and talk to my cousin. Now, that's who it was. He said, I want you to go talk to my cousin. He says, I want you to go talk to him, and I want you to ask him one more time. One more time, like we really got to ask him, you know. But he did. So those two disciples, they left and they went. And it says, when they went, it says that, and saying to them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I'm going to tell you, there's no other to look for. There's people trying to look for others today, and there's not any other that you can look for. There's not any others I'd recommend, and John wouldn't either. Now listen, as we get ready to go into this message, he says to him, I want some spiritual evidence. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Now I'm going to tell you, somebody says that their Christ may have risen somebody up from the dead or raised himself up from the dead. You better not believe them.
Amen.
Because they're not the one. But this is the one.
Amen.
And he says, you go tell John, you've seen, you've heard, you've seen people rise from the dead. And then he goes on to say, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say a little bit more. And you know what he said? This is what he said. He began to say unto the multitude concerning John. He says, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? He said, a man clothed in soft raiment. He said, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. He said, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? He said, yea. He said, I say unto you, he's more than a prophet. I'll tell you, Malachi was the last prophet to see, but he says that this man by the name of John, he's more than a prophet. Now you might say, oh, what's this so special about John the Baptist? Well, one of the most special things about John the Baptist, or missionary Baptist, is that he was on a mission from God, and you know what he preached? He preached the same thing that preacher preached last night, and the same thing you're going to hear tonight. He wasn't a softy. I'll tell you, he was not one that would go into King's palace. And if he did, he was going in there to give his head up is what he was going in for. Hey, you know what? He stood for the right. But when he preached, you know what he preached? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what Malachi preached. We're going to tell you by the word of God in just a minute. Now listen. He said, for this is he. This is who? Of whom it is written. Where was it written? It was the exact words that Malachi said. He said, behold, this is Jesus. He's solidifying, he's authenticating, he's allowing us to understand that this man in the name of John the Baptist was the one that came out of the wilderness of Judea, out of the desert land, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preparing a people. And God, thank God he prepared those people, because he prepared those people prepared another people, and for hundreds of years prepared people, prepared some other people by the help of the Holy Spirit, and God and the gospel made its way all the way to Davidson County, Nashville, Tennessee. Thank God for that. I thank God for that. That is still here. Now listen, I've got to move on. He said, but behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He said, which shall prepare thy way before thee. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen up a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And he said, at the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And he said, and the violent take it by force. He said, for all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He said, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And now I'm going to move on back to Malachi before we get through today. Because you said, Brother Spurgeon, I thought your thought was, hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm going to tell you, I want to give you evidence tonight. That's the hand you need to hold on to. I'll tell you, it won't let you fall. And the Bible says sometimes we'll stumble, but you will not utterly be cast down because he holdeth us with his right hand. And now, I thought to this, you know, we talk about God's unchanging hand, but what about his hand? Have you ever thought why the Bible doesn't talk about two hands? One hand. Well, I thought of him. I think about things like that. You know, he can just hold the world with his hand. But what's he doing with the other one? I thought about that today. I thought, well, what's he doing with that other hand? Have you ever thought what to do with that other hand? I'll tell you, I came to this conclusion. He's holding us up with his right hand, the world and everything is. And I'll tell you, whenever a lost soul gets saved, I believe he's holding Satan back. And he can do that just with one hand. All the demons, all the devils, he can hold them right back. And he won't let them. He won't let them touch somebody that belongs to him. Do you belong to him? I belong to him. He won't let him. I'll tell you, he's got it under control. That's why we need to hold on to God's unchanging hand all through life. And man, when you get ready, as the psalmist said, yea, I walk this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me, thy God and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23, didn't he? Now let's get back to what Malachi said. He said, right here, he said, behold, I will send my messenger. And I'm glad he's still sending his messenger. John the Baptist is gone. Jesus is gone. But his word is still here. And he still has his messengers. So what do you need to do with the messenger? Well, first of all, you got to listen to the message. After you listen to the message, then you got to discern rightly whether or not he's telling you the truth. And if he doesn't give evidence, then you probably won't want to believe it. But I'll tell you, when he gives you a strict evidence, it's backed up by the Holy Spirit, and people began to rejoice, and people began to testify of what the Lord's done. Well, they didn't even cause him a man that's been away from church for 50 years. It'll still bring back to his memory that he needs to come and hear the messenger. And tonight, please listen to the messenger, as I'm trying to convey something to you. He says, this messenger said, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek, he says, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. It says, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And what's this messenger saying? This messenger saying that there's going to be a messenger come who's going to be John the Baptist. And how are you going to know that he's the messenger? Well, I'm going to deviate this a little bit. I'm going to get back to that or not. But this is how you're going to know he's the messenger. First of all, he's going to be a man that's going to look a lot like Isaiah or Elijah, I believe it is, who's going to have a hairy man. He's going to be a hairy man. He's going to have a leather girdle about him. And he said his food's going to be locusts and wild honey. He said, but that's not what's going to really identify him. He said, what's really going to identify him is the message. The message. He's going to come and he's going to be preaching, and he's going to be preaching repenting for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this man, you're going to find him, and he's going to be down there baptizing people. And you know who he's going to baptize? He's only going to baptize those. He's not going to baptize those that say they're Abraham's descendants. Just because they're Abraham's descendants or the chosen ones. That's who Malachi's talking to here. He's telling them, you have forsaken God. You have turned from God. It not only has he turned, you've robbed him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to be a robber, the last one I would want to rob is God.
Amen.
Have you ever robbed God? Think about that before you answer. Think about that before you answer. He says, so this man's going to be down there, and he's going to be baptized. And you see, he's going to be about 60 miles from Jerusalem, you see, but he's going to be the only one that's going to have the authority to do that to it. God did. He said, God's going to give that man the authority to start to prepare a kingdom. A kingdom that will be visible. A kingdom that will be alive. A kingdom that will be established. But you see, he's not going to establish. He's going to prepare the material for it. And you know how he prepared material? He would call people to come and they'd say, I want to Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And how do we know that that was exactly what was supposed to happen? I'm going to tell you. You know, I told you years ago, if you ever rob God, you see, I'll tell you, John the Baptist didn't rob God. In fact, he took Jesus and he dumped him under the water. And the Bible says that when he brought him up out of the water, that's his soul. God did. And he spoke out of heaven. And he allowed the Holy Spirit of the light to put his son in the form of a dove. You know what a dove is? A dove is a messenger. The word Jonah means dove. Did you know that? And so it's a messenger. And so he had a message. You know what? The Holy Spirit had a message from heaven. And you know what that message was? And this is what it was. He said, "This is my beloved son, and whom I'm well pleased." Don't you want him to be pleased with you? Don't rob him. And he will be. How do we allow God to be pleased with us? It's very simple, but it's not preached much anymore. It's called repentance.
Amen.
It's repentance. Let's read on. He says, "But who may abide the day of his coming?" Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Who's going to be able to abide in the day of his coming? Not John the Baptist, now he's talking about Jesus. He said, he's the messenger that is preparing the way up for Jesus, and he's coming, and he said, who's going to be able to stand? Now listen, what he says here, and he says, "And who shall stand when he appeareth?" He said, "For this is like a refiner's fire." Now what is a refiner's fire? A refiner's fire is very hot. It is so hot that it can melt rocks. It can melt ore. It can melt aluminum. I've seen that happen. I worked in the aluminum industry for 30 years. I know what it takes to melt aluminum. And in order for it to be melted, it has to be very hot. Now, why is he saying that? Well, the next thing he says is not only is the evidence for the light is a refiner's fire, he said, and like fuller soap. In other words, it's got to be clean. It's got to be thoroughly clean. Hey, in order for you to go to heaven, you've got to experience, as the psalmist said a long time ago, the pains of hell got hard for me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then when you find trouble and sorrow, what do you do to get out of trouble and sorrow? You call upon the name of the Lord. And then when you call upon the name of the Lord and you repent of your sin, and he helps you to do that, to get you in a condition to do that, but the very moment that you repent, he cleans you up from the inside out. A lot of people, they want to clean the outside in. I'll tell you, it does not work that way. It never has worked that way. You got to be clean from the inside out. And you say, what do you mean clean from the inside out? He cleans you up on the inside. He makes a new creature out of you. He takes all that old stuff away. He puts a brand new heart in there. And when he does, that brand new heart will live forever. It's clean. It's cleaner than this soap he's talking about. The fuller's soap. And he says, and he shall set on it as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And he said that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What's he telling us? In other words, you know how you tell a gold or silver or aluminum that is pure and in its most purest form? You know how to do that? You get it as hot as it can, and what will happen? The hotter they get it, all the impurities will come to the top, and that's called dross. You take that dross, and they call it a skimmer. You skim that off. And God, He's a good, He can do it just, He can do it better than anybody. He'll take that dross, and He'll skim it right off. But then you say, well, how do you know it's pure? Let me tell you how you know it's pure. I'll tell you, you go and you look in that, and you know what you'll see? You'll see the image of you. Did you know that? In the mirror, it will reflect back to you. The more pure it is, the more transparent it is, the more it will reflect your image. Let me tell you, the more that you refine yourself, the more you try to serve God in the way that He wants us to serve Him, He'll remove the dross, and I'll tell you, He'll clean you up, and He will allow you to worship and the way that we should worship Him. Does that mean we're above sin or not above sin? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is we need the Lord's help. So why not hold on to God's unchanging hand? Let's move on just a little bit further, because He's going to get to that. First of all, He's going to start rebuking. He's going to rebuke Israel and Judah in particular. Why Judah? Well, because Judah is the tribe on which Jesus, the Messiah, is to come into the world. And He did. Now listen. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and in His former years. Hey, you see, the way that He had to get this to a point where there would be only one satisfying sacrifice that the preacher preached about last night. So we're not going to talk too much about that. But the only one that could come and be all those things and be the cleanest of the cleanest ever walked on the face of the earth, that was Jesus Christ. Amen. And He did that.
Amen.
Now listen. He goes on to say, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." In other words, He's coming and He's going to judge. And He's going to judge rightly. I may not judge rightly, but He is going to judge rightly every time. Now listen to this next verse, because it is really the verse of Scripture that backs up my subject tonight, which is hold to God's unchanging hand. He said, "For I am the Lord." That's what He says. And He says, "I change not." There it is. So if we're going to hold on to a hand that changes not, wouldn't you want to hold on to His hand? So Malachi says about God, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Really, if we think about it, all of us probably should be consumed. You see? But because of God's mercy, because of His love, because He gave His only begotten Son, we have a way back to God. But He's going to get rough here. Listen to what He says. He says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from mine ordinances." Everything I've tried to convey to you, all the messages I've given you for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you still are rejecting. He says, "And you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them." You know what? A lot of us, if somebody just repeatedly kept rejecting us, kept robbing us, kept on just basically sneering at us and scoffing at us, would you want them to come back like that prodigal son? And for anybody that has the right to just cast us off, it would be wrong. Whole nations have rejected Him. I mean, people, His own creation, they have rejected Him. I'll tell you, the people in the world today are rejecting of the Almighty God. But He doesn't change. One of the things that doesn't change about Him is this. Listen to what He says. He said, "Return to me." That's all you got to do is return. Come on back. Are you lost? How do you know you're lost? The Holy Spirit lets you know that. I didn't tell you that. God lets you know that you're lost. And when you're lost, you know what He wants you to do immediately? Come back. That quick. Oh, I wish I'd come back that quick, but I didn't. I didn't. And I wanted it did. All in the same service. Man, I just don't understand that. She must have been a whole lot better person than me. Or is it? How can somebody be lost and saved? I mean, that quick. Well, she was carried to church. She listened to the ordinances. She listened to the preacher. She listened to the messengers of God. But more importantly, she listened to that sweet
still small voice that scared her to death. And it will. And
Isaiah, he's living with us now. And
he loves to play with me at night. I'll chase him around the house. And you know, I'll scare him. I scared him so bad the other day, he went running through the house. You know who he's running to? He's running to his mama or his grandmother, you see. But then, you know what? He'll start laughing. And you know what? He starts looking for me. And I'm hiding behind a corner. He's still looking for me. That's kind of the way it is, you see, when you're lost. He knows I've been good enough to him to know that he can trust to come back, and I'll probably just startle him again. He'll just start laughing and run through the house again, but it scares you to death. You say, well, how do you know he trusts you? Because every night I'll sit down there in my easy chair and I'll have a bowl of ice cream, and he's right here. And he don't have to say a word. He just opens his mouth. He gets a bite, I get a bite.
He gets a bite. You see, he trusts him. That's the way it is with God.
He's allowed you to live in His earth and breathe His air, and He's just kind of left you alone, you see. And then there comes a time He says, it's time. Are you going to rob Him? Or are you going to return to Him? Malachi says, return unto Me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Well, if man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you said, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Oh, preacher, now you've done gone to meddling. You're going to start preaching on tithes and offerings. I'm going to tell you, tithes and offerings is more than just money.
Amen.
It's time. I'll tell you, I've been going through a series of stewardship and the stewardship of time, of money, of giving, of all these things that we are entrusted with. And when you really boil it all down, I think all of us may be just a little guilty of robbing God. But this is what He says. He says, you have robbed me. You have cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Ah, sounds like you're talking to about the United States of America. Boy, it sure seems similar, doesn't it? He's left Israel. He said, you're my chosen people. But when this nation became a nation, we said, in God we will trust. And if we're going to trust in God, we have to hold to God's unchanging hand. Or what? Or He says, if you turn your back against me, all you got to do is return and I'll come back. Now listen. This is what He says. He says, you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So He says, bring ye all the tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that ye shall not be room enough to receive it. That's why we keep coming to church. That's why we keep serving the Lord. That's why we keep striving to do this and preach the same message that's been preached for years. A lot of people will say, well, I'm going to this new modern church. They got a different style of message. They got more than just a different style of message. They got a different message.
Amen.
Listen real close. Because God's message don't change.
Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the message that this nation needs to hear. It's the message that people that are here that know not God need to hear. You got to know God. Because if you don't know God, and God says, that's it, He's not going to. He waited 400 years here. It's been about 2,000 years now. He's still sending His messengers out. He's still pleading with people. How much more time is it going to take? How much time do you have? How much time do I have? He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I looked at that and I said, what's a delightsome land? And I got to thinking about, well, today somebody asked me, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why it's coming back to me now. There's a man that I was at a warehouse today, and he's the manager of the whole warehouse. His name is Jeff, and I was in his office, and he was getting some information for me, and he had this world map on. And I was reminiscing about all the places. And he started asking, he said, where are you going to travel to next? I said, what do you mean? On a mission trip or just anywhere? He says, oh, you're traveling all the time, going somewhere. I just want to know where you're going. And I said, I think my wife and I are going to go to Fort Lauderdale in August. I got 3 revivals, and then after that, he said, of all the places you've been, what's the best place that you would recommend? And I thought for a minute, you know what I said? I said, I hadn't been there yet. He said, oh, you know what I mean? I said, no, you know what I mean. I haven't been there yet. He had a big smile on his face. I said, I'm going.
Lord help.
I'm going. The land of Beulah. I'm going to that. But to say that delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts, says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we kept His ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now listen, if this doesn't sound like America today, I don't know what does. Verse 15, and now we call the proud happy? Yea. They that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. What's that saying? It's saying that people that are very proud, we're calling them happy. When pride goes before a great fall is what the Bible says. And those that work wickedness, those that are in evil places, we idolize them. Doesn't that sound familiar? People taking people's lives and call them a martyr because they're standing for something that they believe in. It's still wickedness. It's still sin.
Amen.
And then he says, and those that tempt God, why, are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake unto one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Aren't you glad you're here tonight thinking upon His name? And He said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in my day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return. You mean He's coming back? Oh, He's coming back. And when He does, He said He's going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth not, or him not. You know, it's never too late to serve God. And you either will now, or you will later. You say, even if I die without God, oh, you're going to recognize Him as God. But then it'll be too late. You see, the Lord's going to come back and He's going to divide. Maybe that's what He's going to use that hand for. Because the Bible says, those on His right hand, He said, come and inherit the things that have been prepared for you. But those on the left, He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You'll be cast off into everlasting punishment, which is called the lower world or hell, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's where you go.
It's either one or two. So those hands, which one do you want to hang on to? Do you want to hold on to God's unchanging hand? I've got a lot of other things I could have said tonight, but I'm going to stop. I feel like that I said everything that the Lord wanted me to say. It seems like I never read the third chapter of the book of Malachi until it seems like it goes right into the fourth chapter. But this is what it says. It says, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And people say, well, you ought not talk about that stuff, because you might scare somebody. Or it's just some kind of figment of your imagination. Because the Bible tells me that God is love. Surely He wouldn't do that. If He wouldn't do that, then why is it in the Bible? It's in the Bible because the Bible is true and it's going to happen. And when it does, whether or not, there's going to be a great division that will take place. Those that are holding on to God's unchanging hand are those that are truly saved by God's grace. And I'll tell you what, I haven't done a very good job of holding on to His hand, but He's never let go of mine.
Amen.
And He'll never let go of yours. And He's going to carry you through even the times that you didn't think that you could get through, He'll be right there. He said, even if you walk away from Him, He says, you can return. And He said, I don't want you. Now, where is He going to meet you? I don't know where that place is, but I'll tell you the best place that God likes to meet with His people. And that's at an altar. Does that mean it has to be a water's bench? No. It means that you need to humble yourself before the Almighty God. And say, Lord, if that messenger had that message for me. I remember that preacher, that Brother William Shoulders. I heard him preach a long time, never heard the message, you know. Then one night I heard the message. He wasn't talking any different than any other time he did. In fact, he had a little bit of a speech impediment, and I thought, you know, I would just kind of make fun of him. And, well, I didn't make fun of him after that. Something got a hold of me. If it's ever gotten a hold of you, you need to seek the Lord. As the preacher said last night, while He's near. How far away is it? Is it all the way up in heaven? Bible teaches me it's just the closest mention of His name. And if you really, really want to get saved, you can really, really, really get saved if you really want to. But He's going to have to draw. And when He does, He's doing it that unchanging. What does that mean? It means it's never changed. He said last night, folks in the Old Testament got saved the same way we do today. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
You know why? Because God never changes.
Amen.
Same. Even back then, those men were preaching, those prophets, those minor and major prophets, or whatever kind of prophets you want to call them, you know what they were saying? They were saying, they were telling those people, you know what? God writes His laws in your heart. That's what God still does today. So, what are those ordinances? Those ordinances are His commandments. Let me tell you something else. There's two ordinances that are kept sacred today in an old-fashioned missionary Baptist church. That is, you get saved, and as soon as you get saved, you get scriptural baptism.
Amen.
And after you've got scriptural baptism, then you can partake in church capacity, the Lord's Supper, with the Lord and His body. So if you're here and you've been saved and never told it, you need to tell it.
Amen.
You need to tell it.
Amen.
It'll be a blessing to you. He'll pour out a blessing to you, but He'll pour out a blessing to me too.
Amen.
What a blessing it was to hear those who got saved last time. So if you're here, don't Jimmy, let's stand and sing. If somebody's got something in their heart, leave, just let go. But if you need to come and pray, the altar's open.
why don't you just come and pray? And you know what God's people generally will always do? They will pray with you. But it's your prayer. It's your prayer. He's listening to you. And so, why? He's pleading with you. Why don't you come and have a little talk with Jesus? Thank you tonight for allowing us to come.
Turn to page 97.
Thank you.
go and pray in this chapel and went all week in her life. We didn't see much going on. But there was a man that back there pleading with his 12-year-old daughter. I mean, begging, would you please come to me and pray? And she said, I won't. She said, he said, well, I've got to go. So he went and prayed. And when he got through praying, he looked up and he was gone. I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
So we pray tonight, let's pray. Look, expect the Lord to send what we need and how we need it. I really enjoy preaching. I don't enjoy it all the time, but I've enjoyed every sermon I've preached here. I'll bet on there. I guess the honeymoon's not over yet. The Lord is so good. And I rejoice because we serve a God whose hand does not change.
Amen.
And He's not. Saw on the radio today, it says God's good. It says no, God's great. And it talks about that if God can reach down way in the bottom and pulls me out, that's great. I'll say He had to reach way down to the bottom of the earth to get me. But His hand wasn't too short that He could not see. His ear is not so hard to hear that He cannot hear as we pray, even in this prayer. Never break through, or you never try. And please, just try to pray and talk to my God. Because He'll listen, and He'll talk back.
Amen.
He invites the Lord to pray. All right, let's have a singing. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for letting us come together in time to worship You. And we pray, Your Heavenly Father, that You, dear Father, who are seeing all the life in your heart. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us. Lord, we go so far that we don't know how to turn to the left, to the right. All we can do is just look at us. That one changes. That change that changes not. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, that you see what you said today. Preach of your Heavenly Father, out of the purpose of you being.
Preaching the message that you give us. But one day after a while, we won't have to preach anymore.
thankful for that. And I'm thankful, Father, that you've been so good to us throughout this day. And I'm thankful that you saved us. And I know that you're going to save others. And I, too, Lord, long for the time when we see somebody saved at this altar, in this church, maybe not even here at this altar, but somewhere in this church, and by the influence of your God, she needs to be strengthened. But God, we know that they that are lost, they've got to do their part. They've got to repent. They've got to seek you. They've got to want to be saved more than anything. And so, God, we just thank you for your convicting power. And we know that you can still convince even tonight, Lord. And so, God, we just thank you to do that. And don't let us get in your way. And let us be used for your honor and your glory. And thank you again for providing us. And thank you again for you coming and being here and helping us this evening. May you just get all the glory and honor. If there's somebody that needs to testify or do something tonight, Lord, we just pray that you encourage them to let go and let God, from the youngest person here to the eldest, it doesn't matter, Lord. I just pray, God, that we'd all come together, that there would be unity, that there'd be a peace and love and being one accord and for a common cause. And that's the point, souls to the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for being that. And thank you for being it still today. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving your Son. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. And Father, for being able to allow Him to help us and give us the things that we stand in need of. And thank you for that sweet hour of prayer. And thank you again for all blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Gregory, you got anything? Or anybody else have anything? Give the Lord praise or testimony, anything that might need to be done. We don't need when anybody leaves not without doing what you're supposed to do.
I'm going to
Amen.
Like you said,
Wednesday night was here, and I just asked everybody to go around and tell where he's at when he got saved. There's not hardly one person to just tell me that. They had to tell me more. But you just can't. You just got to. I mean, it's just, there's just more to it. I know when I got saved, that's all it was. I just got saved. You know, the longer I lived, there was a whole lot that took place there. I just didn't understand, but I knew something happened. Anybody else? All right, let's have a handshake.
260.
All right.
There is coming a strength.
Forevermore, all that matters. Like taking your lips and speaking in your mouth. But the Lord is speaking to you, and He not just on your heart. We feel that right here in your heart. You need to share that testimony. You need it. I think that every time you tell it, and you know, I think sometimes maybe people think, and I don't know why, because I've never had it. But I think sometimes people think, maybe I won't say it. Well, see, that's when we make our first mistake. When we think, I might not say the right words, but see, it's not really your words. It's the Lord's words to say. All you have to do is open the mouth. But when you start thinking, then you will mess up. You just need to let it go. Because, you know, there's not a lot of wrong way. And the Lord will take care of it. But if there's a testimony to be told, you need to be careful. You need to be telling. Because that's how we share with the world what the Lord does. I just want to encourage people.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Glory, 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 somebody does it. Glory, 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 somebody does me. Glory, 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 somebody does me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. If it was on a Monday, somebody.
I would say when I was 12, you hear two Bible. Right there, went for 3 years seeking the Lord still. But I didn't know where I stood. 3 years, I thought I was lost. It was terrifying. One night, Dylan brought his friend, and she got saved. It was at her Bible when I was 15. And I remember I didn't feel jealous. I wasn't sad. For me, I wasn't mad. I wasn't scared. I was so happy. And I remember your mom standing right there, and I told her, I think I'm saved. She was the first person I told. And I've just been so happy ever since. Just because a lot of people talk about they have fireworks or it's just overwhelming happiness when you get saved. For me, it wasn't like that. It was so peaceful.
Amen.
That I mistook it for thanks for being tired. And I just wrote it off as if I didn't get saved that night. I could have been. There wasn't anything super crazy magical about it. So I went home. And I didn't tell anybody for 3 years. And you gotta tell somebody, and if you don't know, you gotta pray about it.
Amen. Appreciate this good testimony.
Amen.
Appreciate this. I didn't tell anybody for a year, and I'm saved. The Lord gave me peace. I thought I was supposed to see light and fireworks and shout and turn stuff over and just be all kinds of jubilant, but it was peace. I was hurting and I got peace. And that's what salvation means, is peace with God. Turmoil before goes away. That's the best part about it. That's the best part about it, is that peace. Thank you for that. Thank you for this good testimony. Anything else upon your heart?
It was coming today. I was just, I always get taught. You know, as soon as you know you're lost, you seek the Lord. I was at Drake Creek. I was just 8 years old, and I was stuck on the front page. And that even came over me. And I thought, I'm going to get here. I couldn't thank you. I had to be all torn up right now. I don't know how long I was there. I think it was too long. Of course, you know, you're 8 years old, you don't know, not a whole lot that you have to go over anything, and it's just really simple. I was hurting and afraid, and I believed that God would save me.
Bless your name.
So thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Oh. I did have just a little impression to ask everyone, which is just thank you for here before we go to bed tonight. I know this time we all want to see somebody saved. I'm just it's just my soul.
That means
everything.
Amen.
Let's just remember
saying prayer. Amen. Appreciate this one testimony from Sister Ron. She said it wasn't much, but it saved her soul. It was a whole lot. May not be much to anybody else, but it's a whole lot to her, and it's a whole lot to me tonight. If we all stood in the spot that we got saved, then we'd probably die in church. I wasn't saved here, but we've been saved in the church. There's spots that are special to us, and she said hers was on the front seat at Bidrex Creek.
Well, so on the front seat when I realized it, and I went up to the altar.
Well, I'm on the altar, so that's where her spot is at, my spot on the front seat. Sister Jean, I've heard her tell about being on the altar in New Macedonia, so there's a lot of places that are special to us. And they may not mean nothing to the rest of you, but my spot's special to me. I appreciate that. Sister Ronnie did have a request on heart that we'd all pray before we go to sleep tonight. Let us be in one accord and unity about that as we depart. depart tonight and come back, let us just come back and be ready to serve God. Pray that prayer to see God do great things. Anything else upon your hearts tonight? If not, I'm sure that that's been good for you, Lord. So we're not going to dismiss it tonight in the normal dismiss of prayer. I think what we should do is, Sister Rhonda said, go home praying and come back praying. Everyone go with prayer in your heart. And nothing else is upon your hearts tonight. Everybody, please be free before you leave this church house tonight. Nothing else while we stand. Pray for service tomorrow night. Give yourself a good one.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank all of you for being here.
Get you some room.